We're way ahead of schedule, brother, I think. That's amazing. And I'm going to be brief. It makes me a nervous wreck to stand here. I don't mind talking to a room full of prisoners, but a room full of preachers, that's a little bit scary. Anyway, my topic is the effects of fatherlessness as seen among the incarcerated. And a lot has already been said about the way fatherlessness is leading to a lot of people who are living lives that just demonstrate the destructive power of sin. And these people have not received instruction or guidance away from being on that path. And so it comes naturally because we're all sinners. And I have some statistics. There's already been a lot of mentioned, and these are correlate very well. So I'll just go through it quickly. This is based on research that was done by the National Fatherhood Initiative. You can look them up online if you're curious about them. And their research shows that when a child is raised in a home without a father, they are much more likely to go to prison than one who grows up with a father. They're 4 times greater risk of poverty, which has already been mentioned. And as Brother Spilger was saying about St. Louis and the murder there, neighborhoods where people are predominantly poor tend to have a lot of violence. And these young children see and experience this violence, and a lot of them grow up to become violent themselves. And of course, that leads to prison. 69% of these kids that grow up fatherless become addicted to drugs and or alcohol, which is another thing that's putting a whole lot of people in prison. I understand that Montana is leading the nation in per capita meth addiction. 76% of kids that grow up fatherless commit some kind of crime, which of course usually goes to prison. They're twice as likely to drop out of school, which in the prisons, you see people who cannot read or write, and you see people who have PhDs. There's quite a spectrum of education. But the average, when I first began doing prison ministry, and I apologize, I don't have any recent statistics. I think it's improved some. But back in 1993, when I first began doing prison ministry, the average grade level was between the 5th and the 6th grade for a prison inmate. And that's taking into account the ones with a lot of education. It all averaged out to that little. So that is another factor that has a lot to do with people going to prison. Kids who grow up fatherless are more likely to join gangs, and of course gang activity involves a lot of crime, leads people to prison. And kids that grow up fatherless are more likely to suffer abuse. And it is a fact that children who are abused often grow up to be abusers. Another thing that leads to prison. So it's not surprising that we have 70% of our prison population are folks that grew up fatherless. And there's a vicious cycle in all this. I gotta find something here. I've lost it. Wait a minute. Oh, I have it another place. Here it is. Research also shows that children that grow up without a father are 7 times more likely to become a parent as a teenager. So you consider all this stuff that's going on and leading people to prison. From a very young age, a lot of these people are already parents. And their kids are left behind because mom or dad is in prison. And so what happens? Their kids grow up to go to prison. It's a vicious cycle. And ministering to people in prison is, I believe, the best way, maybe even the only way, for most folks to break this cycle. I try to encourage folks that I deal with in prison to make a decision once they've been saved and have the Holy Spirit to give them the power and the Word of God to give them instruction, to make that decision. This cycle of people going to prison in my family is going to stop with me. And they need encouragement because they feel so hopeless. They may be the third or fourth generation of somebody in their family that's doing time. And they need desperately to be told, there is hope. You are a new person in Christ and you can learn to live a different way. The cycle of in and out of prison can stop with you if you just make up your mind and begin to learn a new way of living. When I was preparing this stuff, I spoke with several Rock of Ages missionaries who work with juvenile inmates, just kind of getting their thoughts on some things. And one of them told me that just very recently, he was working in a juvenile prison somewhere, and he had a group of 10 boys. They were between 15 and 16 years of age. And he asked those boys how many of them had children. 8 of them said they had kids, and 2 of those 8 actually had 2 kids already. And the amazing thing was, well, really it's not amazing, but it's very interesting. Those 8 boys who all were in prison and already fathers grew up fatherless, every one of them. The 2 who did not have children, both of them had a dad in their home. Now, that's just a small group of people, but I think it's really impressive that it worked out that way. And I'm sure if you studied this on a grand scale, you would find a very similar thing. And so at that young age, you've got that cycle already happening of people growing up fatherless, going to prison, and having kids that grow up fatherless and will probably go to prison. And this cycle has to be broken on purpose. Now, I have met a young lady, she lives out in California now. When I knew her, she lived in Illinois. And she was a very active member of a Baptist church and just doing great. She had done a lot of prison time. She had been in a lot of abusive relationships. She came from a family that had a lot of criminal activity among them. And at one point in her life, she was still very young, and she was in prison. And a prison minister came to her and told her this same thing that I was just saying. Why don't you decide the criminal activity in my family is going to stop with me? And she made that decision. And at the time I met her in Illinois, she was in Bible college. And shortly after that, she became a missionary with Rock of Ages ministries for a while, but then a young man came along and stole her away from us. But anyone can do that. They just need encouragement. And folks in prison tend to get written off and ignored, and they don't get that encouragement. Or people may come in and teach them all kinds of things, but they don't get down to that basic, it's up to you, you've got to make up your mind. I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do. And with the help of God, this cycle is going to stop with me. I have a testimony I'd like to read to you concerning a man who is probably typical of those boys in the juvenile center. It's written by Mark Merrill. He says, I spent some time recently with a friend. We enjoy hanging out together, but he has had a rough life. He never knew his dad. He didn't have a dad to teach him what it means to be a man, to teach him the difference between right and wrong, and to love him. And at age 13, he started selling drugs. At age 15, he had a child. At 16, he had a second child. At 16, he murdered two people. He was convicted of murder and spent 24 years in prison. He got out of prison 4 years ago at the age of 41 and went into a program where he learned about the love of God and he learned how to be a man of God. Not only was his heart changed, but his mind was changed as well. He now has a new mindset, a new way of thinking, a new attitude. He graduated from the program, got his driver's license, is working on his GED, got a job, and most importantly, he is now involved in his children's lives. He is now a father to his once fatherless kids. He's a product of his past, but he is not a prisoner of his past any longer. And there are a lot of stories like this. I wish I could say the majority of the people that go to prison get saved and their lives are totally changed and they come out different than they went in and they learn to be great dads and great citizens. Well, the reality is, of course, that that's not true. But as Brother Spilger was saying, we have to go after the one. And only God knows how many people he has prepared their heart to receive the truth and act upon it, but no one's telling them. There's over 2 million people, or around 2 million people in prison in America. And there's about 130 Rock of Ages missionaries. There are some other prison ministries that are fundamental, that are teaching the truth in the prisons. But if you compare them to the number of prison inmates, it's very few. And I'd just like to encourage you, don't forget the prisoner, because it is a mission field that can be very fruitful. The only thing is, you've got to love these people and not stand in judgment of them and have the wrong attitude, because they'll see it and they won't respond. 92% of the men in prison are fathers. 66% of them are women, mothers. 6% of the women are mothers. More than 5 million American children have a parent in prison or in jail. Women in prison are often required by the courts to take a course in parenting while they're in prison. in hopes, of course, that they'll learn some things that might keep their kids out of prison and help their kids grow up safely. But men, in general, are not court-ordered to take parenting courses. Men are generally not listed as anybody's legal guardian, even though the majority of them are dads. And so because they're not in the home, they're not active in their children's lives, when they go to prison, their role as fathers is just not something that anybody thinks about. And it's a tremendous opportunity for churches to minister to men in prison, to go in and teach them, of course, win them to Christ by all means, so that they'll be teachable. And then teach them how to be godly dads. Teach them what the Bible has to say about it. Because most of these fellows don't know. And some of them really do want to learn. They're waiting for somebody to show them. Men in prison need to be confronted about their responsibility as dads. A lot of times the culture on the street is if you have a child, it's makes you something special. And if you neglect and abandon that child, it's not a big deal because everybody's doing it. And in prison, I work a lot with Brother Paul Henry, one of our missionaries, who works in juvenile prisons and in men's prisons. And I was talking to him about these things one time, and he told me that the average fellow that he meets in prison, if he asks them if they have any kids, they're very glad to say that they do, and how many, and who their mothers are, and all this stuff. It's part of their life story, and they're proud of it. And Brother Henry, of course, is real concerned about the fact that these men have children, and they're proud of their kids, but they're not taking care of them. Not just because they were in prison, they weren't taking care of them before they went to prison. And he believes very strongly that absent fathers need to be confronted about this sin of neglecting their kids. And he told me a story about a fellow that he met that to him was one of the most amazing experiences that he's had as a prison missionary. He was working in the Hughes unit, which is one of those prisons down in Texas that's a really rough, tough, dangerous place. The men in there are, they've all committed violent crimes. They're locked up 23 hours a day. And they're not allowed to group together for anything, like a church service or whatever, because there'll always be fights, even possibly people getting killed. And so they're kept in their cells. And Brother Henry's allowed to go in there and just walk from cell to cell and talk to people and witness and so forth. And he's been going there for years, and it's very, very rare that he sees anybody get saved. The men just have very hard hearts. But he keeps going because that's his calling. He says one day he was going cell to cell, the Hughes unit, and he started speaking to a man, big, rough, tough guy, and he asked him if he had any kids. And the fellow said, yes, I have three. And he had that attitude of being proud of the fact that he'd been a father three times. And then Brother Henry asked him, well, have you been taking care of those kids? Have you been teaching them? Have you been protecting them? Have you been loving them? Now, he had already been witnessing to this man, and it seemed to be going in one ear and out the other. But when he said that, he said the man just looked at him and said nothing for about a minute. And Brother Paul just waited to see what he would do. And all of a sudden, he fell to his knees in his cell. And he began to pray. He began to confess his sin and call upon God to forgive him. And the very first thing he said was, "God, forgive me for not being a father to my kids." When Brother Paul confronted him about his neglect of his children, God used that to break that hard heart. There are young people, especially in the juvenile prisons, our missionaries have told me about, that have a heartfelt desire to learn to be good dads. People who've grown up without dads and know how it feels. And what a great opportunity for God's people to teach them, if someone just would. And the fact that they don't have state mandated parenting classes for the men and the boys is actually kind of a good thing, because it's an opportunity for God's people to volunteer to teach biblical parenting to these men. Because the state mandated programs, a lot of times they teach some stuff that's not biblical. Brother Henry told me that when he goes to the juvenile prisons, one of the things he does is he speaks with the boys who are brand new in the prison, and he's allowed to collect information about them. And so one of the things he asks them is, "Who's your parent at home? Who's your legal guardian?" And he said, "Almost never does anyone say, my dad. Almost never." He wrote a tract that he calls The Cry of the Fatherless. And I got his permission to bring some to this meeting. They're back there on the table with Rachel's display for Forbid Them Not. And I've got like several piles of them, and I'd just like to offer them, that you would take them for your church or however you want to use them. And when you encounter people who are absent fathers, that you give them one, along with the plan of salvation. It's a very direct and hard-hitting and well-written tract about how God feels about neglecting your kids if you're a father. And I think it's something that God would really use. In dealing with the incarcerated, one thing I have learned, I'm just about done here. One thing I have learned is that because so many of them have grown up fatherless, it's hard to teach them about God as a loving father. They just don't get it because they've not experienced that kind of a father. And you just have to teach them what the Bible says about how a good father is supposed to behave, so that they know. And then, because their fathers have not behaved that way, you've got a great opportunity to point out that they need to forgive their fathers. There are a lot of very hurt and very angry people in prison, and a lot of the reason is because of growing up fatherless. And to help that hurt to heal and to get rid of that anger, they really need to forgive. It's the only solution that I've seen for a lot of this hurt and anger that people have who are in prison. And of course, anybody that goes into prison to minister has the opportunity to do that. Children whose fathers are in prison, of course, need to be shown the unconditional love of God. They've never seen a father's love. And they don't need to just hear about it. They need to have it demonstrated to them. And they need to be taught that God speaks the truth and that he can be trusted, because they've never had a dad that could be trusted, could be counted on. A lot of times their dads have lied to them, let them down over and over again, if they even knew them at all. And when these kids get saved, the church has an opportunity to teach them the multitude of things that the Bible says about who we are as a child of God, who we are in Christ. And through this teaching, they can get an understanding of their identity as a child of God, their identity as having this wonderful Father that loves them and will never let them down, that will never lie to them. And this kind of teaching, of course, is so desperately needed, because if not, they're going to get their identity some other way. They're going to identify with the gang. They're going to identify with some rock star. They're going to identify with some guy, dope dealer on the street, whatever. And for them to realize who they are as a child of God is tremendous healing for someone who's grown up fatherless. And people in prison and the kids that are not in prison all need to have this teaching, understand this, and let God transform their lives, because I really believe that he can. And that's all I got to say. Oh, one more thing I wrote down here, something that crossed my mind. The Bible speaks of people like Mary Magdalene that had seven devils, and the Samaritan woman who had five husbands and was shacked up with somebody when she met Jesus, and the demoniac of Gadara that had the legion of demons and was totally untamable until he met Jesus. How can we not have compassion on people in prison? God can change anybody and stop that cycle of people going to prison and being fatherless. And of course, we have a responsibility to do that. And I hope that we are all getting a vision.